Praise the Lord. Amen. Are we tired? Are you sure? You sound kind of weak. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Praise God. Well, I tell you, I had said earlier that I had asked the Lord concerning a people. I had been teaching a people and ministering to a people who knew nothing, and now I'm talking to a people who know everything. Praise God. And I said to him, what do I do? What do I tell them? And the Lord said, can you imagine what the Lord said? You evidently never asked a question. Hallelujah. The Lord said, take them back to the beginning. So I want to take you back to the beginning. And what I want to talk to you about is time and eternity. Praise God. Now, you all believe that God has no beginning, right? Amen. Do I hear amen? I heard one. Pretty enthusiastic. Do you believe that God has no beginning? Amen. Amen? Amen. Come on. Say it like you believe it.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, he has no beginning. Does he have an end?
No.
So, he has no end. He has no beginning. And you are in agreement that he has no end. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You know, I traveled a long way to get here. Praise God. Took a lot of energy. Took 2 days out of my life sitting on a plane. Hallelujah. And you know, there is an energy that comes from God. It's called resurrection life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we're going to say that this represents eternity. Is that all right? Praise the Lord. Eternity. God has no beginning. God has no end. Who is Alpha?
God.
I'm sorry? Who is he?
God.
There's only two people who know who Alpha is. Who is Alpha?
God.
God is Alpha.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I have a problem. What does Alpha mean?
The beginning.
Amen. Amen.
So, all of a sudden, the God that has no beginning has a beginning. Huh? Means beginning. We just sang a song with it in it, right? All right. Who is Omega? God. This gets more confusing. I have a God that has no beginning. Huh? And yet he has a beginning. And I have a God who is Omega that suddenly has no end, that has an end. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's a mystery, isn't it? Huh?
Amen.
Do you think it's a mystery?
Yes.
How can a God that has no beginning have a beginning? And how as a God that has no end have an end? You call him Alpha. You have a song. He is, what is it? Alpha and Omega. How does it go?
Omega, Jesus is the Alpha. Alpha and Omega.
Who is it?
Jesus.
Jesus.
Alpha.
Alpha. Omega. So we now have a greater mystery. We have no beginning for a God and no end for a God. And now we have a beginning and an end for a God who is called Jesus. Hallelujah. It says that in the blowing of the seventh trumpet, I think this man was preaching on it one time. He said, in the blowing of the seventh trumpet, the mystery of God would be finished. Huh? What is finished? It's the end of something. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the mystery of God, a God that is eternal, and yet a God that has a beginning and ending, had to start someplace and it had to finish someplace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When was the lamb slain? Where? From the foundation. And when was the foundation founded? Huh?
In the beginning.
Very good. Praise the Lord. It's not quite so complicated, is it? Huh? Hallelujah. So we can start at the beginning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, where is the beginning? Where is the beginning? The beginning is in Genesis chapter 1.
In the Word.
Huh?
In the Word.
Yes. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. What was the first thing that God created? Now, those of you who have heard this before, you can't answer. What was the first thing that God created? Well, there was something God created before that. Huh? I can't hear you. Now, come on, brethren. It's not that complicated. What did he create? There was something besides that he created. Yes. But in order to create that, he had to create something else. It's right there in the first three words. In the beginning. What was in the beginning? What is the beginning indicative of? Huh? What is it? No. Come on. You're cheating. He created time. Come on. An eternal God has no time. Huh? So the first thing that God created in the beginning was time. Hallelujah. So time has a beginning and time has an end. Hello, are you there? Huh? Hallelujah. So time has a distinct purpose. So anything that has a beginning, it has an end. Is there another word that you can use to describe the end? Huh? How about the word destiny? Huh? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're kind of looking at me funny now. Hallelujah. So time has a beginning and it has an end, but more than an end, it has a destiny. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So we have this element of time that God created, and He kind of it was a encapsulation of something that was non-eternal. Hello? Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to pray for Barrett. He has been hit, and I want to pray with him. So, Barrett, why don't you come up here? I need some of you elders to come up and lay hands on him. Hallelujah. Praise God. I need some of you elders. Don't be bashful. And if you're not an elder and you got the anointing, you come too. Hallelujah.
They can come grab a hold of you.
Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Somebody needs to pray for him. Oh, la la, makasana mandai.
The spirit of infirmity.
Oh, yes.
We say the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We rebuke you. We stand this day to rebuke you.
Amen.
Every walk of darkness. The Bible says that this is the reason why Jesus was made manifest.
Hallelujah!
That He might destroy all the works of the devil. Tonight, we say, by the blood, all your works are destroyed. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We speak to you, Barak, we say, be made whole. For Jesus Christ, Son of God, makes you whole. Be healed right now in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
That is not working right. We command them to begin to work right in your system right now. In the name of Jesus. Let the anointing that breaks the yoke begin to flow from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. We say, be made every whit whole.
Hallelujah.
Be healed in the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, your word says that if any of you is sick, hallelujah, you call the elders, lay hands on him, anoint him with oil, and his sin shall be forgiven, and he shall be healed. Father, we stand on the authority of your word right now. As our hands are upon our brother, Father, we say, Lord, touch him. Touch him and make him whole.
Oh, in the name
in
of
the
Jesus.
In the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Blessed be your name, Lord, for hearing us. In the name of our Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The scripture says, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Every spirit that is hanging around seeking to take peace out of this body, we say the Lord rebuke you tonight.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. We say that Barak is out of reach to you spirits. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There is another thought here that I want to share with you concerning the construction and the power of creation. If you will turn with me to John chapter 1. Hallelujah. John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So when we look in the beginning, and it said that God said, it isn't in the aspect of a verbal command or something of that nature that was issued. Hallelujah. But it in reality was a creative power that was called the Word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the Word has a metamorphosis process. And we see that metamorphosis process in John chapter 1. Because the Word goes from the Word, hallelujah, it goes from the Word to being life. And then it goes from life to being light. Hello, are you there? Hallelujah. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In the beginning, there was no man.
Amen.
Hallelujah. There was just the concept of man in the mind of God concerning the entity that we know now as human existence. Hallelujah. In the mind of God, it was already created. Now, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that not only was in Him was the life and the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So in the creation of light, or bringing the light into darkness, there was an element of time that was created for the purpose of bringing forth life as known in men. And that is categorically encompassing all of humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know, in the aspect of the end, at about somewhere between the last of the 4,000 years and the beginning of the 5,000 years, year of time, Jesus Christ came. Hello? But He was already pre-existent, and He was already working in the element of God to do what it was that God wanted to do concerning His, what it was He wanted to create. Hello, are you following me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You have to listen to me. It gets complicated. Hallelujah. It can get very complicated, especially I jump. Hallelujah. But I want to read another verse to you that has to deal with that time frame of between 4 and 5,000 years. I'll just say 5,000 years here. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And that is found in Revelations. The 13th chapter, hallelujah. Praise God. Something just hit me. You know, in the occult, the 13 has a bad connotation. And I can understand why it has a bad connotation. Huh? Well, here we got in Revelation 13, the revelation, in Revelation 13, which is an occultic symbol, but in the 8th verse, which is the number of new beginnings, hello, we have the Lamb slain from the when? Huh? From the beginning. Hallelujah. Come on. Now, let me tell you the significance of that. We have a revelation or an understanding that God has given us in Revelation. Now, though it happened here, this was always the goal. Hello? So it happened here. It was always the goal. It was a done deal. It was a done matter. It was, as Jesus said, it is finished. Come on. Hallelujah. Everything that is pertinent to Jesus Christ is pertinent to you as a born again person.
Yes, amen.
Come on. Hallelujah. And I'll show it to you in the Bible. Hallelujah. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible. If you will turn with me to John chapter 17. I'm going to jump to John for a minute. I just want to talk about John. Jesus, oh boy, I'm going to get in trouble for this. When Jesus came on the scene, he not only began to move under the unction and the anointing of God and doing the Father's business, but he began to interrupt other people's businesses. Can you imagine? You have two sons working for you, and your livelihood as a father is dependent upon it, and a man comes walking down the wharf by your boat, and he looks at your two sons and he says, "Follow me." He says, "Follow me." Hallelujah. You know, they could have just said, "Well, I can't go. I'm mending these nets and our livelihood depends on it. My father, he's counting on me. He has put a lot of effort and energy into my training, into my learning how to do the business. And I'm really about to take over the business and do the work of my father, this father." Hallelujah. No. Huh? It's not on? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So they walked out, but they didn't say anything. They just dropped what they were doing and they followed this man. Come on. Have you ever thought about that situation? They didn't know this man from Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Yes.
They didn't know who he was. But there must have been something in what he spoke.
Yes.
And he didn't say much. At least it's not recorded what it was he said.
Yes.
But what he said was enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, there were many that he offered the opportunity to. One said, "I have to go bury my father." And the other one said, "I have to go take care of a wife." And another one said, "Oh, I have to go take care of a piece of land that I bought somewhere." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, but it's a demonstration of the reality of the living Word. And you know, brethren, the Word that we are hearing today and have heard is the same Word.
Amen.
It's the same Word. And the call, the clarion call, is come, follow me. Hallelujah. Paul told Timothy, follow me as I walk. Follow Christ. But you know something? Timothy had to know Christ in order to know that it was Christ that he was following when he was following Paul. Hallelujah. Oh boy. You know, there's a lot of questions I have concerning some of these characters in the Bible that I really want to ask them. I want to ask Timothy, when Paul passed, when Paul was finished, what happened? Because we don't hear any more about it, you understand. But we know of the gift and the calling and the election that was on the young man's life. And you know there was ups and downs in his in and outs, but there was something in that Paul had instilled in Timothy. Hallelujah. And not only that, but there was a laying on of hands and an impartation of an anointing, a mantle that was given to Timothy. Nowhere else in the Bible do we know that Paul laid hands on any individual and blessed them. So I have to believe that though many were turning this way and many were turning that way, Timothy had the tenacity and the determination to press on. And you know, it must have been quite a blow to Timothy when Paul was executed in some manner or some fashion, unless of course maybe Paul prepared him for that event. And the only way that he could prepare him is if he had discipled him to Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we have the... Now, I want to show you in John an interesting set of scriptures. I want to go to John 17. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While I was with them in the world, John chapter 17, verse 12. 12, by the way, is the number of government. And we are talking about God's divine government. Hello? We've tried to take God's divine government and make it human government with God's title on it. Hallelujah. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. There was an overshadowing. Name means nature. Do you hear me? Yes. Name means nature. And you are well aware of that. You've got names that have specific meanings. Hallelujah. That's one of the things I like about African names. They name them unto the glory of God. They name them victory over the devil. Oh, yes. Yes, we were in Uyo many years ago, and there was a young lady who had married a young man in the fellowship. They were both in the fellowship, and they went against tribal tradition. They did not want to have the tribal marriage. They did not want to go through the ritualism, but they only had the courage to go so far, and they agreed to a bride price. You know, the devil always wants his pound of flesh. Huh? And, you know, at that time, you had no jobs. And you had no means of living. The fellowship, I believe, were helping this couple survive in whatever way they could. But they had forfeited on the bride price. So the father became very angry, and he loosed a spirit to rob the couple of the blessing, which was the child. Huh? That was going to be the payment for the bride in lieu of their payment that they were not able to make. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking about. Huh? Hallelujah. And this all comes because of the thing about name. Hallelujah. And I was traveling with Brother Mark at the time. Now, Brother, I call him Dr. Mark. Mark is a registered nurse, has been. He's also an administrator over health homes, whatever they call them. What do they call them? Huh? Huh? Nursing homes. And so he's always, people come for us and he's always asking them their symptoms. And I'm saying to Mark, why are you asking sins? This just rebuked the devil. And Mark tells me, well, it's sometimes good to know what you're praying about. I said, okay. You find out what we're praying about and I'll rebuke the devil.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Well, Mark diagnosed this woman as a fallopian pregnancy. Huh? Yes, the tube. It was in the tube. It wasn't in the womb. It was in the tube. Of course, that is fatal, unless they do something about it, which is operate. And if they operate, they destroy the woman's chance to have a baby. Huh? This was 20 years ago. I think. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So they brought this young lady to us. I must be telling this for a story, for a reason. Just dawned on me. They brought this lady, young lady to us, and we were praying over us that one evening at our hotel. She came in with her husband and everything, and we began to rebuke the devil and bind the spirits and rant and rave and dance and lay hands on her. You know all the stuff you do. Huh? And nothing happened. And it really bothered me. We're supposed to have missionaries. We've come to share God. Huh? We're supposed to have authority over spirits. Huh? An unclean thing. Hello? Hallelujah. And so it really, really bothered us. And so Mark and I went down to prayer and fasting. And we were going to be there for 3 days, I believe it was. I don't really remember. But we decided that we would fast for 2 days at the time there. And on the third day, we would bring her again and pray with her. But God gave us some wisdom during that time of fast. He said, call the elders. Okay, praise God. You know, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 2,000 to flight. But you see, there was something greater that God wanted to deal with than just the woman and her dilemma and the couple's transgression of having to pay the bride price. God was wanting to deal with something else. There was some sort of contention in the eldership. Hallelujah. And we weren't aware of it. We didn't know anything about it. We were just calling everybody together. Hallelujah. To pray for this young lady and her husband. Hallelujah. And as we came together, God began to uncover it. And we understood that this was a problem, but there was a greater problem, and the greater problem was hindering the healing of the couple. Hello, are you there? Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so we began to minister the word of God, and you know, there was a spirit of repentance, there was a spirit of contrition. They began to confess their fault one to the other. And they began to forgive each other. Hallelujah. And when it was all said and done, hallelujah, we had the liberty, the freedom to pray for the woman.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you something. When we prayed for her, it was very simple. God, touch this woman. We rebuked this spirit. We send it back from whence it came. We ask that the blessing come in the correct way, the correct manner. That's all we prayed. Hallelujah. We walked out of there. Didn't hear nothing for several months. We went back to the States. Hallelujah. Went back to the States. It was maybe 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, maybe even 9 months. I don't know. It was a long time. I got a letter. That was before email, by the way. Hallelujah. I got a letter, and it was from the woman, and she said to me, you know, I wanted to wait until I had the physical evidence to share with you the victory over the devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And she gave her daughter, I want to meet her someday. She'd be in her 20s now, I'm sure. Hallelujah. She named her daughter the African name that meant victory. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I'm telling you, the devil got kicked, and he got kicked big time. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh my goodness, you guys should be shouting. So we are here, and that little story must have some significance. The circumstances surrounding it and the environment in which was existing at the time. Hallelujah. It has to have some significance. I didn't think about it until I said the word name. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we have Jesus. Hallelujah. He says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Hallelujah. There was an overshadowing. You know we overshadow? We do. We overshadow. Huh? We overshadow each other. Is your overshadowing keeping someone in the presence of God? Is it shielding them? Is it covering them? Is it protecting them? Are there holes in your umbrella? You know what I mean? Rain coming in, hail coming in, all kinds of trash falling down, falling in. How is your covering? How is your position of overshadowing? You overshadow. Overshadowing is a principle. Hallelujah. When it talks about Mary conceiving, it says the Holy Ghost did what? Overshadowed. And it's the concept of the ark. There was the overshadowing presence of God. You know, when they built the temple, they magnified it. They multiplied it. Instead of little cherubims over a mercy seat, they had cherubim stretching from one wall to the other wall. Praise God. Hallelujah. And the ark would be behind them. Behind the cherub. And it wasn't just the priest that would come in. It was there was a congregational position of a time for the people to come in. And when the glory of God began to rip, it would cast the shadow of the cherubim out over the whole room. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, I have kept them in thy name. None of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Hallelujah. There is, the scriptures will be, continue to be fulfilled until the destiny has been obtained. Hello? You have the natural application, you have the spiritual application, and then you have the fullness of the application. The natural application of the son of perdition was Judas. Hallelujah. The spiritual application, hallelujah, of that spirit of perdition is the spirit of perdition that the apostle said is now, has worked, and is now working in the church. Hallelujah. They were holy place people, by the way. Hallelujah. That first church was holy place church. Hallelujah. 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 And the fullness of that application is a body of people who will manifest the nature of sin. Oh, pray God that we are not one of them. He says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world. Now, come on, remember, this is he's speaking a word into the world. That means he's loosing something. This is the same God that is talked about in John chapter 1. Come on. It's the same God that is talked about in Genesis chapter 1. Hello, verse 1. Hello. It's the same creative force. Hello, come on. The same creative force. Hallelujah. So when he says, I have kept them. Hallelujah. I have kept them. Hallelujah. I have given them thy word. What word did he give them? Hello? He gave them the word that he had and that he was from the beginning. Now I want to ask you, what word is it that you have? Do you have a different word? If you don't have a different word, then you have something more than what you think you have. Hello? It was no problem God saving you from hell. Well, I kicked, I screamed, I rebelled, but I finally capitulated. You think you got saved to escape from hell. That wasn't God's problem. Hell wasn't God's problem. That's not what God was having to deal with. God was having to deal with something much more malignant than hell. Hell is the result of something else. Hell, in actuality, is chaos and disorder. Hello? That's what it means when it says right there in Genesis chapter 1, it says that it was without form and void. It's chaos, it's confusion, it's dissolution and frustration and futility and defeat. And it's all summed up in a word that is called death. Hallelujah! So God not only wanted to create a being that was like unto him, that was like his image and like unto him, but he wanted to also deal with the issue of darkness. Do you hear me? He wanted to deal with the issue of darkness. He could not make a man like unto himself unless he did something with the darkness. Hallelujah. The darkness is not like you just turn off the lights and it's dark. It's a malignant thing. It's like cancer. Hello? There is no other word that I know that describes, that is more descriptive than the word malignant. If somebody comes to you, brother, and says, you have malignant cancer, what do you think? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm dead. I'm finished. I'm done. I'm toast. Huh? That's what we think. And no matter how great the method, sometimes the cure is worse than the disease. Hallelujah. And God said to me, darkness is malignant. That malignant means it has the power to produce something. The medical terminology, malignant, what does it mean in actuality?
It's set on its way. Contrary to the way it should go.
Set on his way. All right. Well, Yes, it's set on its way, but it has the power to produce something. It has the power to produce something. Now think about it for a minute. I want you to think about cancer. Hallelujah. Cancer lives in your body. Hallelujah. You are its host. Isn't that the way it works? If I'm wrong, you medical people change my way of thinking. Cancer lives on your body, and it acts as though it is part of your body. Isn't that true? Hallelujah. It acts like it's part of your being. So your body really does not detect it. Your body really does not combat it. In fact, your body supplies it with food. It feeds on it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what darkness is. Hallelujah. Darkness is like cancer. And what it produces is death. Hallelujah. And so God had to deal with the darkness as well as to deal with the making of a man. And the making of the man was the man would have to have the power over the darkness. Hello? Hallelujah. So time was created for one thing, one reason, and one thing only. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the children of Israel, Hebrews said that the children of Israel failed to accomplish what it was they were determined to do, or what it was that God had given them to do, because of unbelief. In other words, they died, not receiving the promise. Hallelujah. You know, when I want to tell you how accurate, how precise God's word is. There was a situation early on as they were crossing the desert where they rebelled against God, and they were going to do something contrary to what God told them to do, and they did it. And then when they did it, they were going to turn around and try to fix it, and God told them, no, you can't fix it. But they went ahead and tried to do it anyway. Hello? And God got very angry with them and says, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to kill every one of them. Hello? And Moses got up and he interceded for the people. Huh? And Moses says, and God said, okay, Moses, boy, what a relationship. I wish I could have that kind of a relationship with God. I want that kind of relationship. He got up and said, look, Lord, you can't do this. He became God's counselor. He said, look, Lord, you can't do this. If you do this, what will the heathen say? They'll say that the Israel have a God who started something but can't finish it. And he said, get out of my way, Moses. I want to wipe them out. And then he said, no, God, take me. How willing are you to stand in the breach when somebody's spitting on you, somebody's slapping you, somebody's calling you all kinds of names, accusing you of everything that they can think of in the book, and you're sitting there saying, God, smite them dead. God, bring judgment down on them. You know, we don't say it like that. We say, God, I'm right, they're wrong. Do something. But Moses was not of that character. He was more of the character of Christ. He was interceding for those brethren. And you know, God offered him a very good offer. I'll raise a nation up out of you. Huh? Oh my goodness. That's like somebody coming and offering you 5 million naira or whatever. Huh? A carte blanche, a card you can do whatever you want with, anytime you want to do with it. You don't have to worry about how much it is and how much it's going to cost. You just use the card, you never have to pay it back again. Huh? Hallelujah. Most of us would freak out, we'd go bananas. Hallelujah. But not Moses. Hallelujah. Not Moses. Moses interceded for the people. And God says, all right, this is what I'm going to do for your sake. Not for his sake. But for God, for Moses' sake. For your sake, Moses, this is what I'm going to do. And he said he would give him more time. But you know that every one of them died in the wilderness.
Yes.
Not one of them over the age of accountability. Not one of them that was involved in the transgression or were eligible to be accounted as transgressors made it into the promised one. Every one of them died. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that they died because of unbelief. Hello? So unbelief is connected and gives the authority to darkness, of darkness, to kill you. Hallelujah. Unbelief gives the power of darkness. You release darkness. Now, we were talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb being slain from the foundations of the earth. And we know that there is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. So, tell me, how did Enoch make it? How did Enoch make it? Huh? Tell me, how did Elijah make it? My goodness. Hallelujah. If you are walking and talking with God, do you think that God is going to share some of His mysteries with you? Do you think that God is going to give you the ability and the authority in your knowing to be able to utilize that information He is giving you? Hallelujah. So when it talks about Enoch walking and talking with God, it means that there was a line of communication going back from the Father to Enoch. From Enoch to the Father. Father to Enoch. Enoch to the Father. Father to Enoch. Back and forth. Back and forth. Back and forth. And in the midst of that conversation, Enoch was getting a revelation of the blood of Jesus Christ. Hello? Did you hear me? Hallelujah. And there must have been with Elijah, there must have been a similar position or progression of knowledge. That, because, listen to me, brethren, they just didn't disappear. The Bible says he was caught up in a fiery chariot and drove off into the clouds. That's just a symbolism of that you and I might have some ability to comprehend, to understand that there is an eternity outside of us, but there is also eternity in time that is called the Word of God. Did you hear me? The Word of God is eternal.
Oh, yes.
And if you get the Word of God inside of you, hello? What happens? You have eternity inside of you. So you have eternity walking in time. Come on. I'm trying to give you an appetite for the things of God. I'm trying to give you an appetite for the reality of this thing that is called being born again.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can get excited about football. We can get excited about this and that and that and this. Why can't we get excited about God? And the essence of what it is that God has given us. Hello? Come on. God has given you eternity. You have eternity inside of you. All right. If you are a being living in time with eternity inside of you, you are a being. That has eternity inside of them, and you are understanding the reality of that eternity. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? This eternity is going to connect with this eternity. It's the principle of the cell phone. Your cell phone has within it a transceiver. Isn't that right? Am I right? Is it called a transceiver? It sends and receives. Well, a transcender, that's the word they used 25 years ago. Hallelujah. And so, wherever there is a connection, it is able to receive and to send. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you are born again, you are born with an eternal substance.
Yes.
Isn't that why we get born again? Because
yes.
We want to be in eternity.
Yes.
Hello? We want not to go to hell. It's not that I don't want to go, to hell. It's just that that isn't the point. I want to destroy hell.
Amen.
I want to destroy it. I see what hell does to my children, my grandchildren. I see what hell does to my parents. I see what hell does to my brothers and my sisters. I see hell all around me.
Yes.
I drive down the street and see hell, the trash, the litter, and all of the garbage and all of the stuff that is out. I see hell all around me. I'm constantly reminded. I don't have to go to hell. I'm in hell. Hallelujah. And I have eternity inside of me that has the power to overcome and conquer hell. If it is able to save my soul, if it is able to deliver me from hell, why does not that eternity have the power to deliver my brother out of hell? You don't deliver him, you destroy the hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, brethren, that's what the word says. It says that the light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It means it was not able to grab a hold of it, was not able to possess it, it was not able to stop it. So when you witness to somebody and you begin to share with them the power of blood that is able to give them eternal life and overcome the sin that is in their soul, hallelujah, you are destroying hell! So you destroy hell one piece at a time. You impart eternity. You, come on. It's not the words you speak. It's not the scripture you for spiritual laws. It has nothing to do with it. It's a mechanical thing.
Hallelujah.
And it's a mechanical thing. The reality of living is that word that you receive to be born again. It says you cannot see the kingdom of God unless what? You are born again. It lifts you out of darkness. It lifts you out of transgression. It lifts you out of hell and damnation and puts you in a celestial place called heaven. And we walk around like this. Trouble comes and we're like this. Like an old man walking with a cane, mumbling and grumbling and talking to nobody. You are
a son.
You have something in you that was not given to you by your father. It was not something that you received from your mother. It is something that came out of eternity.
Amen.
My God, to tell you something. God is eternity.
Yes, amen.
Eternity is God. You cannot separate God from eternity.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. The totality of eternity is the totality of God. No end, no beginning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
An intelligence that works to bring us to a position or a place that He wants us to be like Him.
Amen.
My God.
Amen.
My God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And I want to squabble over these chairs being mine or this place is mine to sit in. I want to squabble and fight over some ridiculous aspect that is going to pass and disappear.
Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeshua.
There is an inheritance. Come on. You are born again for a purpose. You are born again for a destiny. The destiny is all around you. It's called eternity. It says that God has prepared, it has not entered into the mind of man. What that which God has prepared for Him. We're down here scrubbing like ants, you know, working our little thing, trying to put in our storehouse of good. Come on, brother Ann. Get our minds up. Get our souls up. Get ourselves lifted up. Lift us. God, lift us. Deliver me from the tethers of my earth. Deliver me. Hallelujah. I don't want to walk in time. I want to walk in eternity. Hallelujah. I don't want to wait till I die. I want to die now so I can live in eternity. I don't want to settle for a little piece. I just got the earnest. I don't want the earnest. I want the full boat. I want all of it. I want the totality of it. I want the fullness of what it is that He has. You know what it is? Joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs. Joint heirs. You know what joint heirs is, right? You have a tradition. Firstborn gets everything. Huh? Firstborn gets everything. Oh, yes. Firstborn. He's firstborn. He gets it all. You get your little pittance to peddled out to you to hopefully make you satisfied. Huh? The firstborn gets everything. But the firstborn of God is willing to share 50-50.
Oh, yes, amen.
That means his 50 is my 50, and my 50 is his 50.
Amen.
So it's 100%. Hallelujah!
Amen.
When you're joint heirs, you're no different than the heir.
Amen.
Come on. They have the same rights. They have the same legalities. They have the same position of prestige. They have the same honor. They have the same place position. I'm not taking away from Christ. I'm just telling you what Christ is willing to give me. If Christ wants to give it me, why should I not take it? Huh? Oh, all I got to do is die. That's all I got to do. Death to hell. Hallelujah. You know, God wanted a son. So in order to have a son, you have to have a womb. Time is the womb of God. Can you hear me? Hallelujah. And we are coming to the close of the day. We are coming to the finality. We're coming to the position, the play of reality. God is unveiling. God is uncovering. God is showing and exposing the reality of who He is and what you can be. Hallelujah. God has given us all this opportunity at this point in time. You know, there have been so many people who have desired to look into the mysteries of God that we are now looking into. Hallelujah. You know, when God made time, there was a problem. The problem was darkness. Now, I'm going to define the darkness for you. Well, the scripture is going to define the darkness for you. Hallelujah. It said, verse 2, then the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Oh, hallelujah! Move upon this face! Move upon these waters! Oh, God, move, 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 move!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Jeremiah chapter 4. I suggest that you read the whole chapter. Jeremiah chapter 4. Hallelujah. The whole chapter is indicative and it's an explanation of what was going on in the beginning. There was rebellion in heaven. There was rebellion in eternity. And the rebellion had created a darkness. Hallelujah. Let me read it to you. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to read parts of it. Verse 20. Destruction upon destruction. No, let me go up one verse reading the last part of the 19th. Oh my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. There was war in heaven. What's going to happen at the end of the day? Didn't it say war? Where? Where is the war? It says war in heaven. Revelation says that. Doesn't it say that?
Yes.
Am I mistaken?
No, sir.
Huh? War in heaven. Listen to what he says. And it says destruction upon destruction. He is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled and my curtains in a moment. God is not talking about natural land. God is not talking about natural curtains. God is talking about his temple. Says God does not dwell in buildings made with hands. God dwells within the hearts of men and women and children.
Amen.
We're not talking about just, he's talking about destruction and war. Now listen to what he says. For my people is foolish. They have not known me. What was the indictment against the five foolish virgins? I know you not. What was the indictment about those people that came to Jesus and said, have we not cast out demons in your name? Have we not healed the sick? Have we not, come on, he's talking to church people. Have we not done all of these mighty miracles? What did Jesus say? I do not know you. Knowing God is an individual position of responsibility. It doesn't work collectively.
Amen.
Collectively, you should be helping each other in the relationship that you have with God. Hallelujah. Not strengthening rebellion, not strengthening sedition, not strengthening the working of darkness, but delivering souls out of darkness into light. Hallelujah. He says, if people are foolish, they have not known me. They are stottish children. They have none understanding. Ah, God help us. Oh God, deliver me of my ignorance. Deliver me of my spiritual ignorance. Deliver me from my spiritual dullness. Deliver me from my spiritual inadequacy. Alabakanda. Deliver me from my spiritual impotence. Hallelujah. And he says that they They have not none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. He said, I beheld the earth. And lo, it was without form, and it was void, and the heavens, they had no light. Talking about man. Warring people against warring. He's talking about man in his relationship to a living God. Huh? And there was a situation in the beginning with Heliel. Heliel saw the darkness and he began to think how he could manipulate it, how he could utilize it, how he might be able to make it something that would be beneficial to him, and that he could use it against he that created him. Hallelujah. Well, don't be so hard on the devil. We are just as ignorant as he is, because we're walking in his foolship, his steps, because we think that we know better than the Creator concerning the plan of God and how it should work, and where it should work, and how it should be, and who is going to do it, and who isn't going to do it. Hallelujah. We are so presumptuous in our attitude as human beings. Hallelujah. There was one of my sons, it wasn't this one, by the way. Hallelujah. There was one of my sons, he knew everything about anything. Anything about everything. No matter what, no matter my years of training, no matter what it was. No matter what it was, he knew anything and everything better than what I knew. Hallelujah. I was a carpenter, I was a contractor, and one day he got up and he started telling me how to run my job. And I said, son, I think it's time for you to find another job. I fired him. Hallelujah. You know, it wasn't 3 or 4 weeks down the road, he came back to me and said, Dad, can I have my job back? I said, no. You're fired. Hallelujah. I'm not telling you the whole story, but I'm telling you enough of it. Hallelujah. You know, it was the best thing I could ever do to him. It was the very best thing I could ever do. It began to teach him how to be responsible. It took him out of a familiar environment. It took him out of a position of comfort and covering and tolerance. Unbelievable tolerance. Of course, I'm talking about me. Hallelujah. It is almost not much difference than what God did with Adam. Hello, are you listening to me?
Yeah.
So God had to do something. And God did, the first thing that God did was to divide the light from the darkness. That's the first thing he did. He divided it. He separated it. Now, there was no... And when it talks about the first day, the first evening and the first day, and the morning being the first day, there was no yet sun. No sun yet. No sun. So it wasn't natural light that he's talking about. It's spiritual light, spiritual darkness. Hallelujah. So in the first act of God, he took out of eternity all darkness and encapsulated it in time. Hallelujah. By reason of the fact, how do I know? Because it has a beginning and it has an end. Hello? And then he came down and he divided it again. There was darkness, darkness. He divided it again. And when he divided it again, he made light in a position of supremacy. Huh? Hallelujah. You know, there's a reason why it's the evening in the morning. Hello, are you there? Hallelujah. In the morning, the light begins to overcome the darkness. Even as the sun rises out there, it's dark out here and the sun begins to light and it begins to shed its warmth and its brightness into the arena of your darkness. And you begin to see clearly. You're not stumbling around, as it were, in the dark. You have been born again. But that wasn't quite enough. God had to bring it down. He had to encapsulate it. He had to take it down one more level. So He created two trees. They weren't really trees. He created two trees. One was the tree of life, and one was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. Well, if it was the tree of life, then it must have been light. And if it was light, if it must have been light, then it must have been the Word. Hello? And if it must have been the Word, it must have been God. Hello? Connect the dots. And you come up with God. Hallelujah. This is what you have inside of you, brother. This is what you have inside of you, sister. Oh my God. Hallelujah. So he brought the light and the dark down into two things that were called trees. Huh? Hallelujah. We have the tree of life. Huh? Which is Christ. Hello? God says you can feed upon this tree all you want, but you can't feed upon this tree. The tree of good, the knowledge of good and evil. Huh? Come on. Hallelujah. In the day that you eat it, you shall die. Now, Adam didn't eat it and didn't just drop dead. Did he? This was something I learned from my son. Hallelujah. The Bible says one day is as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day with the Lord. How old was Adam when he died? It was 900. He didn't quite make one day, did he? Didn't quite make one day. So he did die in a day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is not a tree it's a tree of darkness. How do I know that it's darkness? Because it says, the day that you eat it, you are dead. Huh? You are dead. What's death? Death is the separation of you from communicating with God. And it was demonstrated by the fact of them being driven out of the garden. So the less you communicate with God, the less you have a relationship with God, the more you are dying. Come on! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You spend hours in study, right? Hours in school. How much time do you spend in the Word? How much time do you spend listening to the Word? How much time do you think about God during your day? Huh? You get all of the knowledge, you get all of the wisdom of the world, and you're dead. The Bible says, for you and I to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hello? Seek ye first, and then what? All these other things will be added unto you. You don't have to wait to die to be eternal. Hallelujah. 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 You have eternity inside of you, brethren. And you're, it's just sitting there. Sitting. You're in trouble, you're in pain, and you're hurting, and it's sitting. You're not exercising it. Hallelujah. You're chasing after this. You're listening to something you should... Oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't go there. You got these little things plugged into your ears. Oh, they're saying nice things like praise the Lord, hallelujah. Then it makes your body go like this. And your head goes like this. It's sensual. It makes your body move in a way that your body wouldn't move if it wasn't there. Have you ever noticed the difference? Hallelujah. When you're really in praise and in worship. I'm not just talking about the clinging and the dancing. I'm talking about the praise, the worship. You're just worshiping God and God comes down and His sweetness is so sweet and your body is just, your arms just involuntarily go up and your arms go wide. When I was a young man and we came into this praise and worship, what we called the high praises of God. And as we would praise God, people would get slain in the spirit. People would get healed. People would get delivered. There wasn't a man rebuking devils and laying hands. It was God moving in the midst of the congregation. God healing people. Coming in sick and leaving whole. Hallelujah! My goodness! It's eternity! It's eternity! The Bible says that God is heaven. God in heaven, when what they call the latter rain, when it was happening up there in Battle Creek, Michigan, and down in Azusa Street in Los Angeles, and they had a place in Detroit called Bill's Temple. There was an old missionary lady that we knew, a very good close friend of my mother's, who would come to visit us. She spent years, her husband died in Mongolia or someplace like that. And she was there and with us. She would tell us stories of the glory of God that would come down like a fog in the room. And people would fall down confessing their sins. No preaching.
Hallelujah.
No preaching. People would fall down. Hallelujah. Slain in the dead, confessing their sins. In fact, they had a problem because as people would walk into those swinging doors, the fear would hit them and the bodies would start piling up in the doorway. God inhabits His praise. There was a young man who would begin to play the piano and the music would just flow out of heaven into him and out of that piano.
Hallelujah.
The piano began to sound like a harp. It wasn't an electric thing like this thing over here. Hallelujah. And sometimes it sounded like a trumpet. Sometimes it sounded like a chorus of voices.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to have that experience.
Amen.
I want my children to have that experience. I want my grandchildren to have that. I want you children to have that experience.
Hallelujah.
But you have to have a relationship with God. And that God relationship has to be like Enoch's.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you want what Enoch got, you have to walk like Enoch. You have to walk where Enoch walked, when he walked with God. You can't walk with God when you've got this interference banging into your ears with loud sounding cymbals.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is bringing us back around. God is bringing us back around, brethren. So when man became darkness. Now this is what the Bible, this is what the devil had all planned out. But you know something? God knew all about it. Because the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. It just took 5,000 years for it to manifest. In actuality of an eternal God who is the beginning, who is the end, and all the way in between, it was already a done deal. So when God created time, He saw every one of you sitting in this room. He saw every one of you when you would convert and give your heart to Jesus Christ. He saw you when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. He saw you when you heard the Word of God that quickened your soul and brought an excitement into your bones. He saw you. He saw you. He saw you. He saw you, brother. Saved your life. Hallelujah. It wasn't luck. It wasn't happenstance. It was the God inside of you working with the God in eternity. No phone, but you had to cry for help anyway inside of you going out. It says that the Holy Spirit maketh intercession. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Nobody knew where you were, but God knew where you were. Hallelujah. God knew where you were, and He saved your life for a purpose. Hallelujah. A purpose and a destiny that He wants to fulfill in this time, this place, these events of time that are going on now. Hallelujah. So God created it for a reason. So man became separated from God, and man became darkness. Now God had it where He could handle it. Did you see it? Hallelujah. God now has it where He can handle it. He can deal with it. Hallelujah. And He can deal with it because He's going to make an entity a little lower than the angels. Little lower than the angel that thought up this scheme. Did you hear me? A little lower than the angels. He created you a little lower than the angels, but He says that He has exalted you to a position to be what?
Joint heir.
Not just joint, but in charge.
Hallelujah.
In authority over all. And we don't even know how much He's created. All we know is about this little world and the universe that is around us. What limited part of it that we know. But everything that He created that is out there that we don't know about, He created for the sake of us. Do you know that they are finding out that there's a universe inside the atom? Isn't that right? Am I mistaken? They're finding that the atom is a universe that could be just as big or bigger than the universe that is outside of us. Because they thought they have seen the reality of eternity. Come on, brethren! Hallelujah. They have found the reality of the eternity, only they don't know. They don't know that it's eternity. They call it something else. They call it physics. Hallelujah. And then it says the light shineth into where? Huh? Your darkness. I want to tell you the power of that light. I have a family tree. I have murders. I have adulterers. I have all kinds of lasciviousness. I have hordes of demons and devils that have come down and piled up from one generation to another generation, through another generation to another generation, until I have come to a place of time with all of this garbage, huh, on top of me. David said it, he said, what did he say? I was born, I was conceived in iniquity
and sin.
Huh?
Shapen
in iniquity, good. Hallelujah. And not only did I have it on top of me, I had it in me. Hello? Come on! I'm telling you the power of the Word of God. Somebody walked up to you and they said, are you a Christian? Or they walked up and you said, you know God loves you. Huh? What happened? That Word comes to you like a bullet. Like a bullet. Hallelujah. Through all the garbage, through all the spirits, through all the familiarities, through all of the ancestral bondage that is on me as a man. Loose! Hallelujah. It comes down through that darkness like a bullet, entering into the innermost parts of my being. And there is an explosion. Hallelujah. And that which was dead becomes a living soul.
Amen.
My God, I am resurrected from the dead. Oh my goodness. They're just sitting there. I am resurrected from the dead. I got this little spark of life inside of me. But you know something? That little spark of life is now connected to a bigger light. I have a direct line. I have a red phone to God. And I begin to talk to God about my predicament. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Those things that I would, I do not. And those things that I would not, those are the things that I do. Oh, wretched man. Oh, wretched, wretched, wretched man. God, deliver me or kill me.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me?
Hallelujah, yes.
Hallelujah. And God doesn't kill me. He sends His Son Jesus to give me more light. I get baptized in His Holy Spirit. Oh yes, now I can speak in tongues. Like everybody, I get the goosebumps running up and down my arms. Oh, praise the Lord. I now have the Spirit of Truth. I have the beacon of light to show me the way out of my grave.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear me? I have the beacon of light to begin to show me the way out of my grave. Hallelujah. Moving out of my degradation and death. Hallelujah! I'm being delivered from my addiction. I'm being delivered from my anger. I'm being delivered from my depression. I'm being delivered from my murderous thought. I'm being delivered from my bitterness. I'm being delivered from my resentfulness. Hallelujah! I am gaining ground. I am conquering the devil. I am overcoming the darkness within me. I refuse to feed him any longer. I refuse to feed him any longer.
Amen.
You're through eating off of me, devil.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I begin to exercise myself in the things of God, and I begin to eat off of the tree of life. Loose! Hallelujah. A tree that, by the way, is guarded by flaming swords. Huh? Flaming swords. Hallelujah. They weren't meant to keep me out. They were meant to purify me.
Oh, yeah.
They were meant to purge me. They were meant to cleanse me. They were meant to make me something other than what I am. Because it says, out of ashes shall come beauty.
Oh, yeah.
Yes!
Yes!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why should I kick against tribulation? Why should I kick against pain and suffering? Why should I moan and groan about my condition? Why should I pay any attention to this body when it is yelling and screaming at me? I'm telling you, I am being resurrected from the dead. I am being resurrected. I'm not dying.
Hallelujah.
And I'm not one of these never die people. It's all contingent upon my obedience and my faithfulness and my position of contriteness and brokenness before God. The minute I get huffy, the minute I get proud, the minute I get arrogant, the minute I get presumptuous, I step out from under that umbrella of protection and the devil comes and he socks me.
Yes, yes, yes.
And God is not required to cover me because I've moved in rebellion. Against the leading and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And you know something, as long as you're in that place, the devil cannot kill you. He can hit you, he can kick you, he can knock you around, drag you down the road of ways, but he cannot kill you.
Amen.
He cannot kill you.
Amen.
He cannot kill you. I was in Ethiopia, and we were in a hellacious fight. We went there in May of 2012, and we were in a fight. From the moment we got off the plane, the devil started coming after us, and it was 12 solid days, day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, day and night. Fighting this devil that wanted to do anything and everything. And one morning, Nancy and I woke up. It was a Saturday morning, and we had determined, God, we are not losing this place. We are not losing this place. And devil, we are not leaving.
Yes.
Broke. Just like that.
Amen.
Like you turn off the faucets and the water stops running. Hallelujah. But it wasn't quite over. Barrett came to visit us. And we were involved in the ministry, and one day we walked out. Hallelujah. We walked outside, and they were doing some construction out on the road. And as we walked out, there was this piece of wood that had been laid up on the apron. And as I turned, I caught my foot in it. And brethren, I went down on my head on the concrete. Hallelujah. Hit it right here. And everything just started going out. And Barrett leaned over me and he offered me his hand, and I said, brother, I said to Barrett, you need to pray for me. Hallelujah. I knew I was toast. God gave him the power, gave him the authority. He laid hands on me right there, workers all around looking, and rebuked the spirit of death. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? Hallelujah. He rebuked the spirit of death and he said, there will be no repercussions. There will be no residual effect. There will be no evidence. Come on, brethren. My head hit that cement. It sounded like a watermelon. Hallelujah. But you know, by the next day, everything was gone. I had a little bitty scab right there where I had scraped it on the cement. Everything was gone. It was done. It was finished. 2 days later, I came back with a headache. The devil came back with a headache. And I said, God, you said there would be no residual effect. I rebuked this lying demon. Amen. Hallelujah. Headache gone.
Hallelujah.
Gone.
Amen.
Never again.
Amen.
Never again.
Oh, yes.
Never again.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we walk in circumspectly and in the position of obedience to God in the word that He gives us, devil cannot kill you.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. When Jesus overcame death, He became our resurrection.
Amen.
He became our resurrection. Let us begin to use that power of creation. That's another thing. When you have the word, you have the power of creation.
Hallelujah.
It was the word that created everything. Same word in you. Same word. I encourage you, brethren, touch the hem of His garment. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.